Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School, wherein the desire of this effort is to put God constantly on display in the hope that in the teaching of His Word, in God revealing Himself unto us through His Word, faith might come. This morning, we're going back into the Psalms. We're going into a psalm in which there are 60 references to God. And it caused me to remember, I hope that it might cause all of us to remember. I want to go this morning to Psalm 105. Now, in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew of the Old Testament, Psalm 105 actually starts with the last phrase of Psalm 104, which is, "Praise ye the Lord." Hebrew, "Hallelujah." And it continues, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." You know, Psalm 118 starts out the same way. We are to be ever thankful. That is, we, and this teaching is not for the world. This teaching is to all of you whom God has given ears to hear, has called, has from before the foundations of the world chosen to be His. And this opening of Psalm 105, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord," should be a constant refrain to us. Thank you is a word which we use when we have received something from someone. And we by faith have been placed in Christ and have had Christ placed in us, we say, thank you. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. That's part of what this psalm is going to do. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory you in his holy name. As Christians, Jesus is that name which is above every name. Glory ye in Jesus. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. We are going to reference a lot of God's word today. And the understanding through God's word is, none seek the Lord save the Spirit of the Lord draw him. Think on that. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, I would say parenthetically, the father of faith. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He, God, has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. This is wonderful instruction. But a couple things I want to point out before we even go on. It says in the second verse, talk ye of all his wondrous works. It says in the fifth verse, remember his marvelous works. The word in the Hebrew is that same word that we pointed out last week in Psalm 118, it is Pala. My teacher, Dr. Scott, called it Pele. It means beyond one's power. Be difficult to do. To be difficult to understand. To be wonderful. To be extraordinarily extraordinary. To be marvelous. To separate. To do extraordinary or hard or difficult thing, to make wonderful, do wondrously, to show oneself wonderful or marvelous. This is out of Strong's Concordance. I'm going with my pastor, who goes way beyond the simplicity of definitions in Strong's Concordance, and he called him Jehovah Pele, the God of impossibilities. This word is found 71 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. I want you to know and to remember this name, Jehovah Pele. It says in the fourth verse, seek his face forevermore. It says in the eighth verse, he, God, that is, has remembered his covenant forever. We have translation, evermore. We have the translation, forever. Same word, folks. The word is olam. And as we taught last week through on Psalm 118, the word means into eternity or into the eternities. Thank you, Lord, and praise you, Lord. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Which covenant? That word is in italics. It means it was added by the translators. Literally, it reads, which he made with Abraham, and his oath with Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law to Israel for an everlasting covenant. This whole word of God reveals God as righteous, and an understanding of the word righteous is faithful to covenant. He does what he says, because as the 8th verse says, not like unto us, but God remembered. We tend to be forgetful, but God remembers. Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, folks, we have 3 times encountered this word evermore, forever, everlasting, and it speaks of eternity, and we need to know if we are properly taught and by God's grace. I have every confidence. I was properly taught, and I do my best to, at the God School, properly teach. We're talking about eternal things, for we are citizens of eternity, the Hebrews letter speaks of we're strange. Peter says we're strangers and pilgrims. This world is not our home. Oh, that those which are called the churches of Jesus Christ would begin to teach this rather than the ungodly teaching that somehow would suggest that, in fact, life here on earth is heaven, where God's word is ever settled, and it's not. Some would think when, you know, a great blessing or a great healing or a great provision of God comes unto them, oh, I'm in heaven. No. It's just God exercising loving kindness here. That we might continue into eternity with Him. I'm encouraged by this. When they were but few men, we are few at the God School. God be praised. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, He reproved kings for their sake. Going over a lot of potential teaching here, but hang in here with me. We're going someplace. 15th verse says, saying that we, in counting those more than 60 references in this psalm, we could say, he said, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Ooh. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land, and he brake the whole staff of bread. He, verse 17, mark this in your Bible. He sent a man before them, that is, his people, that is, his chosen, that is, to those in whom he has made an everlasting covenant with, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold for a servant. It would be good to go back and to read the life of Joseph, his father's favorite son, his firstborn of Rachel, whom he gave a coat of many colors. It distinguished him from everybody else. And in that distinguishing, his family, his brothers grew to hate him. With him, it was manifest in his father's eyes that he was special. And the result, his brothers hated him. You pick up the story of Joseph in the 37th chapter of Genesis. Where he dreams a dream, and he shares the dreams, or the dream with his brothers, where he says they're all sheaves in the field, and all their sheaves, that is, that gathering of the harvest, bowed down to him. Oh, they hated him for it. And he later has another dream where it says, even the sun and the moon bowed down to him, speaking of his father and his mother. This hatred goes so far as His brothers want to kill them. One of his brothers, Reuben, says, don't do this thing. And he prevents them from killing Joseph. They throw him in a pit. Reuben goes away for a little while. In the interim, a caravan traveling to Egypt comes by. The brothers have the thought, hey, let's get a little profit out of this thing. Let's sell him. And they wind up selling him to this slave train, if you will. They devise a story to fool their father. They take his coat, dip it in blood, say, look, this is all that's left. He winds up, that is Joseph, in Egypt. Remember this opening of the 17th verse. He, God, sent. In the 103rd Psalm, it says, and the understanding can be that God lamented that only Moses came to know his ways, that is God's ways. The people only knew his acts. God sent hatred, pit, slavery, on the auction block, purchased by a powerful man in Egypt. And it goes on in that story to say that in the midst of all of this, that the Lord was with him. And that's when he's in Potiphar's house. Eventually, he's found alone with the wife of Potiphar, who is a witch and desires this beautiful young man to sleep with him. He wouldn't have anything to do with it. He runs out, she grabs his clothes, he runs out naked. She tells the lie. He's sent, lies are told. He's sent, he's hated. He's sent, he's put in a pit. And now we find he's put in prison. But it still continues to tell us that the Lord was with Joseph. He was thrown in prison, and the 18th verse picks up, whose feet they hurt with fetters. King James says, he was laid in iron. A multitude of commentaries they say it's a stretch. But I believe context outweighs in some cases even grammar. Dr. Scott used to say, and as I just said, many commentaries say also, until iron entered his soul. God sent. It sure doesn't look like it to the human mind. It sure doesn't look like it to this one, Joseph. Later in this psalm, it's going to say God sent Moses, a man trained up in all the ways of Egypt, whom God chose, through whom God chose to deliver his people. We don't have time to go into the life of Moses, but boy, that sure was not an instantaneous happening. In the New Testament, we have the epistles of Paul, wherein he says, Paul, an apostle, one sent. Read the life of Paul, strangers and pilgrims in this earth. Not manifested all that God has in store for those whom he has chosen. God gave this one, Joseph, dreams when he was 17 years old. In his journey of faith, in the midst of circumstances that denied everything, that he had dreamed of. I believe generated by God's Spirit in the midst of everything, there came a point where iron entered his soul. The 19th verse is so wonderful. It says, until the time that his, that is God's word came, that is, was fulfilled, the word of the Lord tried him. That God grant me grace, that through this word I might encourage each and every one of you. It says in another place that God led his children into the wilderness that he might test them, that he might prove what was in their hearts. And oft times that is in a negative sense. I would put it in a positive sense. To the ones he called, to the ones he chose, he leads us into the wilderness that he might prove what he has put in our heart, even the gift of faith, this iron, not easily broken, entered into his heart as a result of the circumstance that denied God's word. what do we do when we find ourselves in circumstance where it seems, where God delays his promises, wherein he even allows all circumstance to deny it? We, through God's gift of faith and the comforting of his Holy Spirit, we should remember all the words of his covenant, that is, all the promises of God, that in Jesus Christ are yea, and in him amen. We must let the iron, the unbreakable iron of God's Spirit, rule in our hearts and must continue on with the understanding that God remembers his covenant into the eternities. And regardless of circumstance, continue to lean upon, continue to run into the shelter of his word, this is faith. This is the iron of the soul. It is pleasing to God. Not only is it pleasing to God, it is a gift of God. And with that understanding, we can say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And we can glory in his holy name. For the rest of this psalm, we are going to go to the communion table in the next message. For now, this is the God School for today.